to ever play.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday. Finally, Friday. What's led to this Friday morning? Joining us now on the line, I'm doing this every Friday. He's our returning champion. He's my state senator, Chris Elliott. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Trying to get back to South Alabama after a really cool evening last night in Tuscaloosa.
Well, just your thoughts on that. I did see you there with the Beto and Doug Jones, but you were there for the Trump speech, weren't you?
A little bit more my speed. Yeah, I think first of all, I think the university did a great job putting it on, and of course the president just knocked it out of the park with his comments. I mean, you want to talk about reading the crowd and understanding who's in the room and being able to talk to them. I mean, he said some things that, you know, I've been around politics a long time, 10, 15, 20 years ago, people would have cringed. Ooh, I can't believe he said that. And that's what people don't understand. A lot of the political class don't understand. People just want somebody to speak honestly and directly to them and not, you know, get bogged down in all this political correct nonsense. Just tell me the truth. And he did that last night. He did a great job with it. But the university, man, think about this. Not a single heckle, not a single boo out of the thousands of people that were there. Nobody was whining. Nobody was screaming or heckling or anything like that. All you had was a president and a lot of respect from the kids that were graduating and the others that were there to see them. And I thought that spoke about the university an awful lot and the respect that this state has for the president.
Let's talk about a pretty bold move, I think, for the University of Alabama. Now we know academia is not where you typically find a lot of support for conservative politics, for Republican politicians. It's just not a play. I mean, and it never has. It's kind of a bold move to put him there on stage with all of the University of Alabama insignia, the way they really embraced him. And this is not, I mean, I wouldn't have had this even on my bingo card 6 months ago or you know, even after the election. And I know Alabama's a big Trump state, but, they may not be as vehemently anti-Trump as like Oberlin College or something, but I tell you, this is it is sort of a change in direction, it seems.
Well, look, any sitting United States president that will accept an offer to come give a commencement address, I mean, that's a yes from any institution, whether it's your high school or, you know, in a flagship university.
I mean, Harvard is not going to be inviting Donald Trump. I mean, there's a lot of schools that would, you know, cringe and protest.
I completely agree. But I do think it was smart for the university to embrace the president and even some of the things that some of the, you know, the liberal professors in academia may have had some issues with it. They just stayed away, right? And they made it, you know, they made it about, and Trump made it about the graduates, right? He talked to them. Yeah, he talked to national politics some, but the number of times he spoke directly to the graduates that were there, to the people of the state of Alabama, when he talked to football and basketball, he talked about sports, and he talked about how all of what he's doing relates to the people that were in that room, whether it was transgender athletes or immigration or what these graduates were going to do once they got out into the workforce and how bright America's future is for kids like them. I mean, he did a fantastic job, and the university did a good job embracing him.
Yeah, and, like I said, they rolled out the red carpet for him, and it wasn't adversarial at all, and there was no hecklers or – you know, he doesn't even have that luxury at his own presidential rallies where you don't have some kind of incident. So, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. Hey, let's talk legislative politics. 3 days to go. Senator Todd Stacey and I are kind of talking about this morning and what it looks like going forward. And I know there's still some bills that are outstanding, and we won't get into, like, you know, potential overriding vetoes or whatever. But big picture-wise, and the truce that looked like had come out of two Thursdays ago with the Birmingham Waterworks bill kind of fell apart with the general fund discussion, having to read that whole bill and just killing a lot of other people's bills. What is it going to look like from this point forward, do you think?
Well, it's going to be frustrating. I think that Pro Tem Gutter is going to do everything he can to get as many pieces of legislation out as possible. I think he's going to start looking at what those are and prioritize them, because unfortunately the Democrats have put us in a position where they have killed an awful lot of legislation just by talking on it, right? And I know you and Todd talked about some of the procedures earlier on, and some of the frustration, understandably, in the House about our inability to move through the calendar some days. And it is frustrating. Now, colleagues like my friend Sam Van from Hunt will tell you, hey, this, sometimes not passing legislation is a good thing. And he's right about that. But there are still a number of good pieces of legislation that need to be passed, both general laws, statewide laws, right, and a bunch of local legislation that needs to move. And that is all in jeopardy because of my Democratic colleagues. You heard Marika Coleman, senator from Jefferson County, take and speak on the calendar the other day, the special order calendar, and I think it was a report from the Committee on Rules for 20 minutes, because her bill wasn't on the calendar. The irony there is, good gracious, they're the reason we don't have time to get to some of these pieces of legislation. And so it's been an interesting session. I think Pro Tem Gutter has done an admirable job navigating it as best as possible. Yes, they were testing him. Yes, he's pushed back with cloturing their filibusters. Do we need to look at changing the rules in the next quadrennium? Probably so. If this is going to be the posture of the minority party to just obfuscate and delay and kill things by simply running out of the clock, then we need to do a better job of clock management, and we need to adjust the rules in order to accommodate that.
Yeah, I guess you were listening because Todd talked about, these institutionalists and just this respect for the longtime practices of the Alabama State Senate. But what these two Democrats are doing, the way they're utilizing the rules, and they're using the rules the way they can be used, is not really precedented. This is it's only been, Republicans have only had it since 2010. This is a relatively new thing that they're doing, and I the Republicans never did this when they were in the minority, more or less a super minority situation.
No, and you're correct. They've been doing it effectively here of late. I mean, this has been the posture since I've been in the legislature, but it has gotten even worse here of late. And it has crept into other places as well, right? So it's not just on the floor. It's in committee meetings where the rules are really at the discretion of the chairman, right? How much time does somebody have to speak? How much time do you let a member speak? And look, I routinely have, 10, 12 bill calendars in my committee, and it becomes a real issue of time management to let the public hearings take place, then to let the members speak. And in those hearings, and in those committee meetings, the Democrats, time after time after time, are the ones that are speaking, 2, 3, 4 times as much as any of the Republicans. And they are doing that intentionally. Remember, they don't have a majority. And so if we're not able to legislate, they win. That is the goal. And they've been effective at doing that far too often. We've got some good things through. We've cloistered them. We have applied pressure. We've gone around them. We've done a lot. We need to do more.
Well, and they get – what I find interesting is that they're still getting bills, and, they're still getting Bobby Singleton is getting a 4-lane highway through the middle of his district, proposed.
That's,
yeah.
That's more a factor of the governor than
Well, but still though, they're not having to pay I don't think they're having to pay a price for this. And so it's not that you need to change the rules necessarily, but it can't be business as usual. I mean, you have to, and then this is what, and you and I talked about this last week, like, I feel like when you got a gun to their head and you tell them, you don't want to cooperate, this is how it's going to be. But then you say, okay, you rascals, we'll make a deal with you. And you do that, it encourages more of this.
Well, we'll see how Tuesday goes. Again, like you pointed out, we've got 3 days left, Tuesday and Wednesday left. And we'll see how you know, what the posture is there. I imagine you may see more of that closure posture just because of the nature of what's left to deal with. I mean, we've got this police immunity bill, which the Democrats are already on the record saying, you know, we're going to filibuster this. It's going to happen. Well, if you're in that situation and you've got other pieces of legislation that need to pass too, you've got, again, understandably, House leadership is looking at us going, hey, come on, guys, you know, let's see if we get through this.
Right, and just to make a point here, the House is, you know, the way it's operating, I think, is not, it's not efficient either, but it's not like the House Republicans are really steamrolling the Democrats. There is some give and take there. When Anthony Daniels has been there, and you know that there's been a lot of cooperation, that they don't need these stalemates to work in a cooperative way, and it's like the Senate Democrats have a completely different approach that I think has got to be, like, there's got to be repercussions, right?
I think so, and you'll hear members talk all the time about how the Senate is the deliberative body. We should be more pensive and take time. So there is absolutely zero quality to the debate that is happening on the Senate floor. If you listen to those filibusters, it's embarrassing. And it has very little to do with the topic at hand. It is about wasting time. Now, they're very effective in employing those tools. They're very effective at wasting that time. But there's zero quality to the debate. If we were standing there and earnestly debating the legislation, I'd have no qualms about it. I think more legislation needs to be debated. If the people of Alabama saw us actually, making, you know, point counterpoint about what we were voting on, I think that'd be a fantastic thing. That's not what's happening. And it's embarrassing. And it's embarrassing when people come to the State House and listen and go, what in the world are you doing? Is this how it really works? And so I think it's imperative for us to get some control over that. I don't think you'll see that next session, but for a new quadrennium, I think you'll see some changes. And I think the House has done a good job in showing the benefits, the fruits of changing some of those rules.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like they've completely closed off to Democrats, but, like, if you're going to get up there and talk, it's got to be germane to the bill that's on the floor, right? And there has to be some kind of guardrails, that keeps Roger Smither from talking about what kind of livestock he's looking at buying, you know, on a bill about, like, adult changing stations, stuff like that. And that seems like that's a reasonable thing to do.
Well, and it should be about limiting debate, too. I mean, there's a point where an hour is maybe too long. And if you're going to get up there and just waste time, we need to move on. But germane is such a difficult thing. You heard just the other day, the lieutenant governor gavel down, I believe it was the Senator Smitherman the other day, about not being germane. And he was talking about a confirmation to the Alabama Forestry Commission. And so he was talking about wood products. And he talked about everything from toothpicks to toilet paper, trying to stay germane when it was clear that he was just wasting time on a confirmation. He wasn't talking about the qualifications of the conferee. He was just talking about toilet paper.
Well, I mean, but this is up to the voters. You put somebody in that chair as lieutenant governor, who is going to enforce that? That's their judgment. It's just like any other elected official. They make choices. And I think, like, the germane is just part of the job description. And that's this is the product of what the voters want. Right now, they can do a lot of things that, you know, are completely irrelevant. You could get the Senate Minority Leader to get up there and deliver an hour-long tirade about Elon Musk when Elon Musk absolutely nothing to do with the subject.
It is frustrating, and I think, unfortunately, at the end of this session, I'm going to have to go back to my district and explain that a lot of bills died, a lot of good bills died, and a lot of local legislation died because you had Democrats that just ran out the clock on the session, and they did it on purpose.
Well, and you talk about the relationship between the House and the Senate. Does the House kind of understand this? Like, look, we maybe gave them too much of the benefit of the doubt here. Your bills aren't getting through. There's a lot of House bills, And I know at one point when you had one of your colleagues was upset that the Senate bills weren't getting through the House, but it really, I mean, I think they got a real legitimate gripe here. Do they kind of like understand that?
Yeah, and listen, I talk with you know, some folks in House leadership regularly. I had dinner with one last night. They understand. They don't like it. And I think they would very much like for us to try to adopt some of the rules that they put in place to try to move things around or along. And I'll be honest with you, I think we should too. It will curtail our individual ability and our individual power as senators, but I think it is an important thing to do to move legislation. I mean, they've got a legitimate gripe. Yes, they do. And it's also important to know there are three times as many of them and three times as many number of bills sometimes as there are in the Senate. But at the end of the day, yes, I will concede they have a legitimate gripe. We have been slow this session.
Well, and let's talk to the practicality or, you know, whatever. You've been there 6 years. How many times have you seen it where a Republican, and there's been a couple of times, but where a Republican really needed to utilize the rules in such a way to slow something down or whatever? I mean, it happens. But this is not necessarily something that you couldn't live without, I don't think.
I agree. I don't think it's this seemingly unlimited debate on most motions that allows one individual senator to shut the place down, really in perpetuity. I mean, one senator could absolutely keep anything from happening for an entire session, for an entire quadrennium. Could absolutely do that. And I don't know that we need that to be the case. And y'all have reported, 1890s reported on how much time Senator Singleton, Senator Smitherman, have spent at the microphone. It's just wildly disproportionate, to what's been the norm. And wildly disproportionate to the number of Republicans at the mic speaking. And that shouldn't be allowed to continue to stand. I think the pro-gem, the new pro-gem in the new quadrennium, you know, it's important to know he inherited these rules. These rules have been here for a long time. But I think that using the tools he's used so far with cloture, what we may do next week in order to get through that week, you know, stay tuned, see how this ends. But they're making the argument for us that there needs to be significant change. You're seeing that happen right now.
Senator, we'll leave it there. Safe travels, and we will pick it up again next week.
Thanks so much. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend.
State Senator Chris Elliott. We'll be right back to wrap it up. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
So happy, no sorrow inside.